The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Rendell.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Just because we're having a winter storm doesn't mean the planet's not getting warm. That idiotic argument's getting old. Climate change can also make it cold. That's the beauty of science. It doesn't care if you believe it or not. So pay attention to science, 'cause it sure explains a lot. You might think it's clever to send a tweet begging global warming to send us some heat. But on top of being a bit bizarre, it also shows how stupid you are. That's the beauty of science. It doesn't care if you believe it or not. So pay attention to science before our environment is shot. How many more times must we explain this stuff? Climate's not weather, it isn't that tough. Even little kids can explain the crux to these science-denying schmucks. That's the beauty of science. It doesn't care if you believe it or not. So pay attention to science before our planet's not worth squat. If this administration could get its way, they'd totally demolish the EPA. And we've got a leader who keeps on slamming the concept of global whamming. That's the beauty of science. It doesn't care if you believe it or not. So pay attention to science and get off your friggin' yacht. It rhymes. That's the beauty of science. A fact's a fact no matter what you dolts conclude. And though your nutty defiance makes you sound truly unglued, pay attention to science, please, before we are all screwed.
Yes. Hello and welcome to a new week on the Nicole Sandler Show. Thanks to Lauren Mayer for teaching us about science, something that a lot of people need to hear, apparently. By the way, there was snow on Maui. That's normal. Yeah. And our pal Will from Chicago is in the chat room today because schools are closed there because of, what did he say, high wind and ice and, and crazy weather. So, and here in South Florida, it's hot again. We had a few cool days Anyway, welcome to it. I don't even know where to begin. There's another shutdown watch. Yes, you see this group of negotiators from both houses of Congress, from both parties, have gotten together over the last week or so to try to hammer out a deal. We'll have all the details in What's News coming up in a few minutes. But what you should know is Trump is now, after staying out of the negotiations. Oh, shoot. I just closed something that I shouldn't have closed. Damn it. I could tell this is going to be one of those days already. I lost all my sound. After negotiations, a deal has been cut, agreed on in principle. Meanwhile, the House needs to vote on it today because they have all these kinds of rules of how many hours of debate and everything. And if they expect to avoid another shutdown on Friday, the ball needs to be rolling as of now. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull this up now. My computer is not behaving as it should. Seriously? All right. Well, half the audio I put up here is gone, so I don't have the clips. Anyway, Trump is saying now that he doesn't like the deal. And he's saying, we'll put other things in it. No, you can't put other things in it. He doesn't understand how it works. Again, we'll get to that in What's News and with Gotta Laugh. The other thing I wanted to comment on before we actually get going is this controversy over, Ilhan Omar. She is the Muslim freshman congressperson, one of two, the two first female Muslims. Keith Ellison was the first Muslim in Congress. Ilhan Omar, sorry, is her name, out of Minnesota, said something on Twitter the other day that all of a sudden had everyone screaming, anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism. You know what? It wasn't anti-Semitism. Let me read to you what she did. And let me state at the outset, being critical of Israel and its policies does not make one anti-Semitic. Let's stop conflating these two issues. The person who disagrees with Israel that doesn't make them an anti-Semite. Two completely different things. So here's what happened. Glenn Greenwald, a polarizing figure for sure, he tweeted out, quote, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy threatens punishment for Ilhan, at Ilhan Minnesota, Ilhan MN is her Twitter handle, and Rashida Tlaib, who is the other freshman Muslim congresswoman, over their criticisms of Israel. So again, what he's saying is Kevin McCarthy threatens punishment for Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib over their criticisms of Israel. It's stunning, he writes, how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans. Omar responded with, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. And for that, that was construed as anti-Semitic? Seriously? And then somebody by the name of Batia Ungar Sargon tweeted, would love to know who Ilhan Omar thinks is paying American politicians to be pro-Israel, though I think I can guess. Bad form, Congresswoman. That's the second anti-Semitic trope you've tweeted. She responded, AIPAC. Well, I'm trying to find the anti-Semitism there, and I can't. Nevertheless, after being piled on and taken to task by everyone from Nancy Pelosi on down, she apologized. She tweeted out this message. She, at the top, she wrote, listening and learning, but standing strong. And then she included this message. Anti-Semitism is real, and I'm grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. My intention is never to offend my constituents of Jewish Americans as a whole, or Jewish Americans as a whole. We have to always be willing to step back and think through criticism, just as I expect people to hear me when others attack me for my identity. This is why I unequivocally apologize. At the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics, whether it be AIPAC, the NRA, or the fossil fuel industry. It's gone on too long, and we must be willing to address it. She said nothing wrong there. In fact, I agree with everything she said. And guess what? Do I have my, I thought I had a sound that would have been perfect for this occasion, but I can't find it. I'm Jewish. Now, to some, I may not be because I'm not a practicing Jew, and I actually, consider myself more an atheist than anything else, but by heritage, I'm Jewish, although maybe I'm not. You know, my family told me I was Jewish, that I came from a Jewish background growing up, but I honestly have no proof. Just throwing that out there, because this is, what happened to Elizabeth Warren. So someone want to attack me and say I'm not Jewish? Yeah. Anyway, no, you want to hear what anti-Semitic is? By the way, Donald Trump felt it was within his purview to comment on Ilhan Omar.
One other thing I might want to say is
you
that anti-Semitism has no place in the United States.
That's
Congress.
True, asshole.
And Congressman Omar is terrible what she said.
Excuse me.
And I think she should either resign from Congress or she should certainly resign from the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
Really? Why would that be?
What she said is so deep-seated in
it
her
was?
Heart.
Was so deep-seated in her heart.
Her lame apology, and that's what it was. It
lame,
was lame
apology?
And she didn't mean a word of it.
Really?
Was just not appropriate. I think she should resign from Congress, frankly. But at a minimum, she shouldn't be on committees. Certainly that committee.
Oh, boy.
Look inside your tiny mind, and look a bit harder.
I'm going to get violated for this,
so
but it's worth it.
So sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor.
This is for you, Donald.
So you say it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil.
Evil.
You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval.
Come on, everybody, sing. Fuck you. Fuck you very, very much. You, Donald Trump. That's Lily Allen. You can hear the whole song. I know I probably are. The YouTube video will be, you know, silenced because I played too much of the song. But fuck you, Donald Trump. You want to hear what a racist sounds like? What an anti-Semite sounds like?
I've condemned neo-Nazis.
No, you
I've
haven't.
I've condemned many different groups.
Many
but
different
not
groups.
Not all of those people were neo-Nazis.
Oh, really?
Not all of those people were
no.
white supremacists.
No.
I think there's blame on both sides.
Oh, really?
You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides.
Blame on
no doubt
both
about
sides.
It.
Right. Yes. So the people carrying the torches and chanting, Jews will not replace us with their Nazi salutes and their KKK hoods. Were they wearing hoods? They may as well have been. There were good people on both sides. Donald Trump, God, fuck you. Okay. Now, Will from Chicago says, as a practicing Jew and member of my synagogue's board, I think the Congresswoman unwillingly fell into the trope of Jews control politicians with money. However, about half of Israelis oppose the Likud's policy. So do I. I'm sorry. It's bullshit. She said, I don't know Ilhan Omar from Adam. Never met her. Never interviewed her. Have no skin in this game. But nothing she said was anti-Semitic. I'm sorry. But we need to get over the sensitivities too much. This is ridiculous. Again, what did she say? The Glenn Greenwald tweeted, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy threatens punishment for Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib over their criticisms of Israel. It's stunning how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans. Omar responded to that with, it's all about the Benjamin's baby. Did you not see the video that went viral all over the interwebs of AOC explaining the legalized bribery that happens in Congress, how lobbying works or actually doesn't work? It had nothing to do with being Jewish or not. It was talking about how money controls things in Congress. We need to get over this shit. Oh, man. All right. I'm done ranting. We'll do what's news. We'll come back on the other side with Gotta Laugh because there's a lot more to talk about today, such as it is. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A bipartisan, bicameral group of lawmakers announced Monday night that they'd reached an agreement in principle on a spending deal to avoid another shutdown ahead of Friday's midnight deadline. The deal includes $1.375 billion for 55 miles of fences along the border, compared with the $5.7 billion Trump had sought for more than 200 miles of walls. Although the deal omits a strict new cap Democrats had sought on immigrants detained within the United States as opposed to at the border, it limits overall levels of detention beds maintained by ICE. To avert a shutdown, the deal needs to be written into final legislation and passed by both the House and Senate and signed by the president. So how would Trump reconcile the lack of wall funding? Reports say that the White House is firming up plans to redirect unspent federal dollars without invoking a national emergency. Done by executive order, the idea floated by Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney is to shift money from two Army Corps of Engineers flood control projects in Northern California, as well as from disaster relief funds intended for California and Puerto Rico. The plan would also tap unspent Department of Defense funds for military construction, like family housing or infrastructure for military bases. News of the deal broke just before Trump was set to take the stage at his rally in El Paso, Texas.
And if it's Monday, it must be El Paso. That was the site of the president's rally tonight, and the counter rally headlined by Beto O'Rourke within sight of the president's venue. President went hard after O'Rourke. He went hard after the news media and the Mueller case and made his case for the wall all over again. While just minutes before he emerged on stage, word had arrived from Congress that they appear to have a deal in principle to stop this looming next shutdown. At one point, President Trump said the last government shutdown was important to show people what's going on at the border.
But you know what? If we didn't do that shutdown, we would not have been able to show this country, these politicians, the world, what the hell is happening with the border. That was a very important thing we did.
Outside the Trump rally, there was the Beto O'Rourke-led counter event. O'Rourke gave up his seat in Congress from El Paso for what became a losing Senate campaign against Ted Cruz. Nonetheless, he remains a voice and tonight went after the president on his treatment of immigrants.
We can show the rest of the country as we make our stand here together tonight that walls do not make us safer. Walls will require us to take someone's property, their house, their farm, their ranch, to build a wall at a time of record low northbound apprehensions. A president who describes Mexican immigrants as rapists and criminals. We have the chance to tell him and the country, immigrants commit crimes, including violent crimes, at a lower rate than do Americans who were born in this country. El Paso has been the safest city in the United States of America, not in spite of the fact that we're a city of immigrants, but because we are a city of immigrants.
By the way, inside the arena, as Trump continued his bizarre attacks on the media, one idiot in a MAGA hat shoved and swore at a BBC cameraman and other news crews before being pulled away. Freshman Representative Ilhan Omar came under fire over the weekend for what some are calling anti-Semitic tropes on Twitter. CNN has the story.
Ilhan Omar is now apologizing after House leadership and many of her fellow Democrats called on her to do precisely that. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer released this statement about her saying that, quote, use of anti-Semitic tropes and prejudicial accusations about Israel's supporters is deeply offensive. We condemn these remarks and we call upon Congresswoman Omar to immediately apologize for these hurtful comments.
Bullshit.
And the backlash over this tweet, this is where this all started. She had tweeted, quote, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. And it was her response to the message critical of the Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy for going after Congresswoman Omar and her support of the anti-Israel movement called BDS, or Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. Later, Omar accused on Twitter the lobbying group AIPAC for paying politicians to be pro-Israel. So let's go straight to Capitol Hill and CNN's congressional correspondent there, Manu Raju. And so, Manu, what is the response now from Congresswoman Omar?
Well, she's offering an apology. She says anti-Semitism is real, and I am grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. My intention is never to offend my constituents or Jewish Americans as a whole. We have to always be willing to step back and think through criticism, just as I expect people to hear from me when others attack me for my identity. This is why I unequivocally apologize. She goes on to say, at the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics, whether it be AIPAC, the NRA, the fossil fuel industry. She said it's gone on too long, and we must be willing to address it.
It should be noted that when rebuked, Omar apologized. When Republicans rebuked Steve King of Iowa for embracing white nationalism, he simply railed against them. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
I don't know how I'd get through Tuesdays without her. Every Tuesday, Gotta Laugh joins us. We talk about the news. We do it by going through, really, her Twitter feed to see what's top of mind, what people are talking about. First, we got to get her on the line. Hello?
Why, yes, you've reached the What Other People Do During Trump's Executive Time hotline.
Okay.
Please press 1 if you think Melania looks for new places to hide the key to her bedroom.
We know that.
Press 2 if you think Mike Pence hauls out his sewing kit and lengthens Trump's neckties. Press 3 if you think Robert Mueller hauls out his sewing kit and sews up loose ends on indictments.
Oh, I can only hope so.
Have a nice day.
You know, I sound like a broken record. I'm getting sick of this shit. I really am.
I am too.
I'm just so over it.
I'm as angry as you were, are about leadership jumping in and pouncing all over her. It is a much ado about nothing. I saw it and I thought that's what they were talking about.
Yeah, she said nothing. She said nothing. Yet Steve King gets to be a white supremacist and he's still there. Donald Trump gets to spew all kinds of racist shit from the post Charlottesville stuff to his smear on the genocide of Native Americans to right. And on and on and on. I mean, I could go on for literally the entire fucking hour.
Oh, of course.
And yet he has the nerve to criticize her.
How many Republicans have slurred people just time after time after time, and it just goes right by us, right? Everybody just looks at them and goes, well, that's what they do. It's the hypocrisy is something, you know, that I talk about a lot on Twitter.
Yep.
It's one of my themes. It just drives me crazy. So, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's really sickening. I just, when I went back and I read her tweets over and over again, I'm like, where's the anti-Semitism? So you're saying basically that if you talk about the influence of money over politics, that you're being an anti-Semite, that you're automatically talking about Jewish people? That's kind of anti-Semitic, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're reading into it like that, it sounds a little weird. Does sound a little anti-Semitic. Yep. You know, just for the record, again, you and I are in exactly the same place. I was raised Jewish, and I'm an atheist.
Yeah, and by the way, all Jews aren't rich. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a given. Oh, God, what a stereotype that is. Anyway, I've got a lot of tweets if you want to get to them, including covering today's press spray.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's do it. All
right. Welcome to my tweets.
All right. So what are the Twitters all abuzz about now?
Oh, there's so many Twitters. A couple are from yesterday, actually, but they were a little hard to put up on the paper that I send you. But AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she was mocking somebody because they were arguing with a parody account, thinking it was her. Okay, so here's the tweet she's responding to. Sinclair Broadcast Group's chief political analyst, Boris Epstein, remember him?
God, unfortunately.
Is, is trying to argue with an AOC parody account. That is from Jordan Yule. The fake Twitter, okay, let's see if I can do this without screwing up everything. The parody tweet says, press release, we will not stay silent on this reckless move by President Trump pulling out of the IMDb treaty with Russia. Okay, then, oh crap. Okay, then I'm losing it here. I'm trying not to lose my tweet here. Boris Epstein responds to her saying Dems' messaging on Russia continues to be confused. One minute they scream that president is Russia's puppet. The next they don't want the president to be tough on Russia, too. You mean INF? IMDb is the movie database that you seem to so desperately want to have a big profile on.
Yeah.
Okay, so then she says, I can't believe I found the tweet again. She says, AOC says, the right is so eager to smear that they end up tripping over their own wires all the time. Here, the chief political analyst for Sinclair Broadcasting earnestly cites a parody account as supporting evidence for his bogus argument. Misinformation spreads like this regularly. As usual, she gets the upper hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so easy to do with these people.
Yep.
They're idiots. Okay. Garrett Hake of MSNBC, mm-hmm. he shows a picture of MAGA t-shirts at Trump's rally.
Yeah.
And the picture of one of the t-shirts has the CNN logo, the MSNBC logo, and then it says fake news with a little sort of picture of Trump and a little cartoon kind of look. And Garrett Hake says, new addition to the MAGA merchandise tables since my last Trump rally. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty sure that's trademark infringement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. They've got to find the person who's selling them, I guess, to.
Well, they were right there. He was showing these not on a person, mm-hmm. but on the model, on the little mannequin.
Wow.
So he was showing where they were being sold. So he knows who was selling them.
Okay.
I don't know if he took note, but he was making his point regardless. So, yeah. Okay, so this is from yesterday also. And this is, okay, first Mark Noller of CBS says, on the flight to El Paso on Air Force One, Trump was critical of Ilhan Omar and a tweet accused of being anti-Semitic. And he says, I quote, I think she should be ashamed of herself. I think it was a terrible statement. I don't think her apology was adequate. And then Jonathan Ladd, who is an associate professor, says, congratulations to the media for relatively ignoring the president of the United States joking about genocide of the Cherokees, using an ethnic slur for Native Americans, and attacking, quote, Latin Americans always.
Yeah, well, this is standard for him. This is what he does. I don't know why anyone's surprised. And yet, they'll cover his bullshit accusations of somebody else's alleged bigotry when they don't do anything about his. That's on display, blatant display, day after fucking day.
Right, but then you have people what's his name, Daniel Dale, who does call him out regularly. He gets a lot of attention for calling him out regularly.
Right, but he does it on Twitter, and he's not, as he told us when he was here on the show, Daniel Dale, of course, the Washington correspondent for the Toronto Star, he doesn't have White House press credentials. He doesn't go into the briefing room. He's not there in the press spray. He's covering Trump on Twitter, but he's not able to confront him directly. Seriously.
No, not directly, but he does go on CNN and MSNBC with the reporting, so at least he gets national attention on it.
Yeah. Sort of.
It's better than nothing. At least he does it. And honestly, on at least on MSNBC, they do call Trump out for this. It's just that it takes a backseat to other stories.
They've more and more been doing the both sides thing. My God. Yeah. First of all, their new regular guest and watch, he's going to be their next MSNBC contributor or political analyst, Joe Crowley. AOC defeated Joe Crowley for good reason, because he sucked at his job. We didn't want him. He was voted out of office. So MSNBC brings him on like his opinion matters for two shits.
Well, they brought on Claire McCaskill.
I know. Same thing. I know. And I'm being a hypocrite because I complained with all the former Republicans who've been voted out of office that they have on. And so they bring on a couple of ex, Democratic reps. And I'm disgusted with them, too. I wish we had an actual news channel I can watch and get the news without all the associated bullshit.
Well, right, because they don't hire liberals. They always hire conservatives or what they call moderates, which,
I guess they are in some ways. No, they're not. That's not the definition of moderate.
No, it's not. I'd love to see them hire a true liberal, one. I haven't even hired one. Mm-hmm. And they used to have Bernie on a lot more. He's not on anymore. Actually, he was on. I take it back. He was on a couple of weeks ago. Uh-huh. I think it was probably Chris Hayes. He likes to have him on. But that's about it.
Yep. I know.
Anywho, this was from last night, but it was actually picked up this morning, and I have a follow-up on it. Eleanor Montagu, a BBC Washington news editor, said, "Just attended my first Trump rally, where my colleague, BBC cameraman Rob Skains, was attacked by a Trump supporter.
Yep.
The crowd had been whipped up into a frenzy against the media by Trump and other speakers all night." And then the follow-up was today. I believe it was today. Oh, crap. Okay, here we go. Daily Beast. "Trump supporter who attacked BBC cameraman at rally won't be charged."
What?
That's right.
Why not?
"The El Paso District Attorney's Office will not press charges against the belligerent Trump supporter who apparently shoved several news crews and, quote, violently pushed a BBC cameraman during the rally. In video capture, blah, blah, blah." Let me see if I can find the part. "Trump supporters near the attack can be heard chanting." Let's see if I can. "And it's tried to smash our camera." Where's the part about not being? "Following the incident, the BBC requested Sarah Sanders perform a review of security arrangements. It's clearly unacceptable." That's all it says. Just won't be charged.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Skating. I hope somebody brings charges.
It would have to be the cameraman would have to press charges. And I would guess that person wants the hell out of Texas and doesn't want to go back again. I wouldn't blame them.
And then there we go. It defeats the press again. There goes the First Amendment, right? Because all got scared away.
Yep.
You know, I got to hand it to Katie Chur, who took it and took it and took it and talks about it a lot.
Yep. Well, it was her job, and I guess she didn't want to walk away from a big job, and now it's turned into a bigger job for her. So good for her.
So Scott Dworkin and others are reporting, breaking, U.S. Navy combat veteran and retired NASA astronaut Mark Kelly just announced he's running for Senate as a Democrat against GOP Senator McSally in 2020.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. He could run against either her or Kyrsten Sinema, and it wouldn't make much of a difference. Howie Klein just tweeted, "There are only two freshman Dems in the Senate. They already have the worst voting records of any Democrat. In fact, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona and Jackie Rosen of Nevada are tied for 47th worst member with Martha McSally of Arizona and Josh Hawley, the Republican who defeated Claire McCaskill. Susan Collins of Maine is way more progressive."
Well, this is what happens. You know, a Democrat will run in a red district or a red state and will be, you know, hoping they win, because we'd be stupid to want the Republican to win. And then they win. And then we're mad at them because they're doing what we expected.
Well, no. The thing is, we're mad at Chuck Schumer because he's the one who handpicked both of them, Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona and Jackie Rosen in Nevada, and they both sucked as candidates. This is on Chuck Schumer, who picks these conservadems when there were actual, you know, progressives that he could have chosen and helped to run in those states, but he didn't.
I hear you. I hear you big and loud. Yep. Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca Ballhaus says Trump led a round of applause. This is at the press spray today. Trump led a round of applause. Get ready to get your barf bag out and your Pepto for acting AG Matthew Whitaker.
Oh, God.
In today's cabinet meeting. Quote, "You've taken a tremendous amount of abuse. You've handled yourself incredibly last Friday. But on behalf of all of us, I want to thank you very much." We're the ones who've been abused, folks, not poor little Whitaker.
Oh,
Trump has been abusing us forever.
Did you watch any of that hearing last week? That was an embarrassment.
Yes, it was awful.
Oh my God. And again, the fact that Whitaker, I go back to Hakeem Jeffries. I have the clip somewhere. Hold on. Saying this.
Mr. Whitaker, thank you for your presence here today. This hearing is important because there are many Americans throughout the country who are confused. I'm confused. I really am. We're all trying to figure out, who are you? Mm-hmm. Where did you come from? And how the heck did you become the head of the Department of Justice?
No shit. This is an insult to every American, every lawyer, every law-abiding person, to the rule of law. It's just an affront. It's an embarrassment. It just goes against the grain of anything that's normal.
Oh, absolutely. I live tweeted the whole thing. I was live tweeting from 6:30 in the morning until it was over at about, what, 2? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is my time.
Yes, right.
And it was torture to do. It was torture to live tweet that thing. It was miserable. Anyway, Casey Hunt added to what you were talking about. The news, this is from Sungmin Kim, news real Donald Trump just now, on the spending deal. I'm not happy about it. It's not doing the trick. Says he is adding things to it. Am I happy? The answer is no, I'm not. I'm not happy. And Casey Hunt said, adding things to it is really not how this works.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much what you said already.
Right.
On your report.
He can't add things to it. By the way, this, I thought I had, here from the pool spray today.
As I'm going on stage to speak, they're telling me about the committee came out with a deal. And, you know, they went over it very briefly. Then I went over it briefly last night, but it was 3:00 in the morning. And I can't say I'm happy. I can't say I'm thrilled. But the wall's getting built, regardless. Doesn't matter, because we're doing other things beyond what we're talking about here. So we'll see what happens. We're having a meeting on it later. It's really obstruction. The Democrats want everybody to be able to come into our country.
You know, that he keeps on with the Democrats, and he said, this is the Democrats' obstruction. This was a bipartisan agreement. It's not the Democrats. It's the group of lawmakers who were tasked with coming up with a deal. Donald Trump was not included in it, and he cannot add to it. It is what
it is. And McConnell wants him to sign it.
Yep.
And this is a perfect timing for this. Per Pooler, this is from Lauren Peikoff of MSNBC, I guess. Per Pooler, Peter Alexander, Trump on shutdown. I don't think you're going to see a shutdown. If you did have it, it's Democrats' fault. And I said, this was right after he ripped into the bipartisan deal. So it's exactly what you're saying. Plus, no, he can't just build a wall. He's going to end up pulling funding, as you already, I think you covered that. From other areas, and build it. He's going to try to build the wall. He's going to have sign an executive order. He's probably not going to do the emergency thing because everyone's telling him not to now. But he's going to sign an executive order and try to build it himself, and then that's going to all go to court.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same, you know, the same thing. He says, I'm going to agree to a deal. Then the deal is pretty much made, and then he says, I don't like the deal. Then he starts throwing wrenches into the deal,
yep.
And then he signs some order.
Right, because Sean Hannity said I forget the word he used, but you know he's got the same vocabulary Trump has. Said it was a bad deal. And Laura Ingraham said it was a bad deal. So you know Trump can't be for it because his media advisors are telling him, no, it's not good. You can't do this.
I'm surprised Hannity's not sitting at the Oval behind the desk at this point.
He's sitting under the desk with Trump's dick in his mouth.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so here's some more. I live tweeted this one. Here's what Trump said. Walls got bad names. This is what he said. Quote, walls got bad names because they're so ugly. The heat makes them expand and contract. Why didn't you paint the steel?
God, he
said that.
Asshole. He's such a fucking idiot. America, what is wrong with you?
He said that.
God.
Nicole, he said that. Okay. Yamiche Alcindor follows up with, Trump is still saying he would consider declaring a national emergency. I'm considering everything. He says after saying he doesn't like what the Democrats are offering. So we just talked about that. He says, here's more on what I just said. Trump says existing fence is ugly and that he wants to have painted steel at the border. Quote, we are taking from far less important areas. We're building in the face of tremendous opposition. You know, he wants to talk about obstruction. Merrick Garland. Okay.
No kidding. That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you said that to him, you know what he'd probably say?
What?
Who?
Yeah. Exactly. So he then said, this is my own live tweeting, Trump just said a bunch of other presidents have declared, quote, many, many national emergencies, so neener nanner he can too. And I'm saying, like, first of all, they had reasons. They had, like, actual reasons for declaring national emergencies. Yep. And then I would like him to define.
Well, they might have been actual. They were actual emergencies when an emergency has been declared. Well, now Trump is leaning away from declaring an emergency because, you know, you can't plan an emergency for weeks upon weeks upon weeks.
But that's the thing. That's what I was saying. He's going to then sign an executive order instead because his people are saying you can't have a 2 month long planned out national emergency. That's not an emergency. That's a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to do an executive order.
Right. Which, if I remember correctly, that's all they accused Obama of doing day in and day out and
right.
criticized him for it. So, but it's okay if you're a Republican. It's okay if you're
exactly.
Trump. Exactly. None of that matters. Right. Right.
You got it. You nailed it. David Rothkopf, mm-hmm. He said, he's host on Deep State Radio. He said, there's a word for what Trump's shutdown tactics have helped him achieve in the negotiations that have led to this bipartisan border deal. A big, stinking, humiliating failure of a loss of a defeat. It's a long word, but it captures what happened pretty accurately.
Okay.
A big, stinking, humiliating failure of a loss of a defeat. Trump gotcha. Blew it. He knows he blew it. And so now he's got to do his executive thing. All right. Senator Collins, this is from Joe Sudbay.
Okay.
He's on the Michelangelo Signorelli show as a sub, and he's on SXM Progress and stuff. And he's an I'm half asleep today. My bad. Activist. He said Senator Collins defends her Kavanaugh vote. Quote, Collins said, she does not believe Roe is in jeopardy, but can't predict how Kavanaugh would vote in every single case.
Oh, God.
That's her excuse.
Yeah, of course. She's going to make excuses until the day she's voted out of office.
Oh, she's so horrible. Here's one. U.S. solar jobs are down for a second year as Trump tariffs weigh. The industry was among the fastest growing segments of the U.S. energy industry. That was a tweet from Reuters.
Okay.
Make America great again. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, solar industry is going down the tubes, no pun. But
not like it ever was, you know, atop the tubes because our government never got behind it. In fact, here in Florida, you still cannot easily put solar panels on your roof. This is the so-called Sunshine State, by the way.
No, right. But it is a fast-growing industry, and it's not anymore. So he's screwing that really well. C-SPAN tweeted Trump on Ilhan Omar, her lame apology, and that's what it was. It was lame, the same clip. And she didn't mean a word of what she just said. And I said, you know, he said she should resign. I said, you first, apologize for abusing women, children, the country as a whole. Apologize for putting our national security second to your own greed and ego. Apologize for taking steps to destroy the environment and healthcare and education. Apologize for your racism and bigotry, then resign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he should resign. He should actually just drop dead. By the way, you notice that his physical was whenever it was almost
a
week ago.
And they put out
a one page letter basically saying he's in great health and will remain in perfect health throughout his presidency and beyond.
And
Excuse
beyond,
me?
Like he can see.
How can you predict somebody's future health? You can't. And where are the specifics? You'll notice. We don't have any.
And also, the reason you get a physical is because nobody can predict what's going to happen even a year from now.
Yep. Exactly.
So Abby D. Phillip of CNN is tweeting over a Jackie Kucinich tweet saying Representative Mark Meadows predicts the president will sign the compromise bill. Said the Freedom Caucus doesn't have leverage to, quote, go to the mat on the shutdown. And she said, this is significant. And then I followed up with, well, then he'll sign the executive order, too. So he may sign the bill. He may complain about signing the bill, but he'll do whatever he damn pleases.
Or
try to,
I guess.
I should say.
Yep.
Okay. Those were today's.
Okay.
I actually skipped one on the Green New Deal because it was a long thread and we're running out of time.
Yep.
So
that's you know what? Before we move on,
yeah,
I actually want to talk about something that happened with a Twitter friend of ours, Wiley Miller. He's on Twitter as
Wiley Miller.
He's the guy who writes the Non Sequitur comic strip, which is a great comic strip.
Mm-hmm. And he's a great guy, just for everybody.
Yeah, and he's been into her. I know he's you and he have been following each other on Twitter for a while, and I just realized that he's following me too. And so, you know, I actually thought I'd invite him on the show anyway, which I did today, invited him to join us for a few minutes to explain what's going on. But he's actually been advised just to lay low for a while because of this controversy that happened. Do you want to explain what happened here? Or
why don't you? You're better at I tend to ramble because I get so angry, and I'm very angry at this.
Uh-huh.
He sent it to me, by the way. He tweeted me the comic strip in question because when I looked at it in my on my phone, I couldn't read it. When I looked at it in my newspaper, I couldn't read it, which you're about to say, just so you know. And so he sent it to me on Twitter so I could blow it up better. And then I finally saw what this big controversy is about. And he also sent, he DMs me. We're very good friends on Twitter. Like, we should meet. That's how good friends we are. Only he's in Georgia. And I mean, we almost met one day when he came out to LA, but then he got too busy because his dad was sick. But he's been DMing me all kinds of things about this, like nasty letters he's been getting from readers. So this is really awful. He may may very well be in real trouble here.
So what happened was Sunday's Non Sequitur comic strip showed bears dressed up like Leonardo da Vinci. I'm reading from the Washington Post now because I wanted to get the backstory right. It says the syndicated strip opens with Bear Vinci holding a picture of Vitruvian bear. It ends with the Ursine painting a Mona Lisa, who is also, you guessed it, a bear. They're all characters in the Bear Renaissance, and the format invites readers to color in the drawings. But much like Leonardo himself, the Washington Post writes, Wiley Miller, whose work often tackles politics and has occasionally drawn controversy, inserted a secret message into his latest work. Hidden at the bottom right corner of the second panel, beneath a drawing of the Italian inventor's flying machine, a semi-legible scribble appeared to read, "Go fuck yourself, Trump." As you mentioned, I looked at it. David and I were looking at it last night, trying to find where on there it was, and we couldn't find it anywhere. Right. But now comes the information that not only has he been dropped by one newspaper, a number of papers have dropped him. So I invited him to come on the show, and what he said was, "I've been advised by my syndicate to stay off social media and not do interviews for a while. I agree with them." He's right, but they did issue the statement. Here's Wiley Miller's statement. Here's what he wrote. "When I opened the paper Sunday morning and read my cartoon, I didn't think anything of it, as I didn't notice the scribbling that has now caught fire. It wasn't until later when sharp-eyed readers pointed it out that I remember doing it, as the cartoon was done about 8 weeks ago. I now remember that I was particularly aggravated that day about something the president had done or said, and so I lashed out in a rather sophomoric manner as instant therapy. It was not intended for public consumption, which is why it's scribbled. Had I intended to make a statement to be understood by the readers, I would have done so in a more subtle, sophisticated manner. This coming Saturday will mark the 27th anniversary of Non Sequitur, and in all that time, I've never done anything like this, nor do I intend to do so in the future." Now, Andrews McMeel Syndication, who syndicates his comic strip, also issued the statement saying, "Regarding the Non Sequitur Sunday comic published February 10th containing vulgar language, we are sorry we missed the language in our editing process. If we had discovered them, we would not have distributed the cartoon without them being removed. We apologize to Non Sequitur's clients and readers for our oversight." We've all made mistakes. I guess he did this and sent the wrong finished product into his publisher.
He told me the same thing. He didn't remember doing it. And he does do the strips weeks and weeks ahead.
Yep.
I used to be a comic strip artist. I had my own strip for a couple of years. It wasn't syndicated, but it went out to papers all over the country. And I'd have to get them out way early. I would never remember doing something like that, if, you know, unless it was really intentional. And I can also vouch for him that when he plants what they call Easter eggs, where you look for these little things, uh-huh. you know, like to the fun things, he makes them more obvious. He put Laffy's Place on a store window written backwards because it was the cartoon strip took place inside the establishment that Laffy's Place was on. So it was really like, I didn't even notice it immediately. And mm-hmm. that's the kind of stuff he does, like he said, in a more classy way or however he just worded right. it. When he wants you to see it, he'll make it obvious. He did not intend for this to go out.
So, you know, if you're a fan of the comic strip and understand that it was a mistake, call your local newspaper and tell them you want to keep getting non sequitur. I mean, this could derail his entire career, which would really
suck. It very
well
could.
Which would really suck.
And he's a super nice guy. I mean, this is not somebody who is a vindictive, angry person. He is one of the sweetest guys. And he's a dog person. He's a rescue dog person. He is just wonderful. Yeah. Anybody who reads his tweets knows this.
And all he did was say, to Trump, which is something I do all the time.
Hey, yeah, me too.
I guess you could just turn me off. Like, I got to share this with you, too. I have an email of the day to share with you. And I got this yesterday from somebody named Brad Bridgman. I'm still deciding whether or not I want to give his email address so everybody can respond to him if you like. Because what he sent me an email, the subject line read, "Thanks for the encouragement." So I open it and I read all the emails I get. And he wrote, "You encouraged me to stop listening. I did. Thank you." So I wrote back and I said, "Okay, appreciate the feedback, but care to tell me what it was that I did, or do you just get off on being an asshole?" And I've since emailed him twice because I still haven't heard back from him. I would like to know honestly what it was. If he has a problem with me saying "fuck you" to Donald Trump, or he has a problem with me getting upset, or whatever, that's fine. But you know, sending an email like this is just rude.
Explain yourself. That's
exactly.
That's like the old sitcom. Joke where the wife says, "I'm mad at you," and the husband goes, "What did I do?" "Well, you don't know. I'm certainly not going to tell you."
Yeah, really? So Brad Bridgman, Brad at connectivitymasters.com, should anyone else want to ask him, I'd like to know what I did to encourage you to stop listening, because if I had known, I would have done it sooner. Just saying.
That's so Nicole.
Yes, it is.
Okay, on to tweeting.
Yep.
This is from yesterday. Tim Mack of The Atlantic. Now, some of these I just put silly ones in because there was really
good.
It was like kind of a slow day. Uh-huh. But anyway, here's not a silly one. Ocasio-Cortez generated more interactions. Well, this is kind of fun. Retweets plus likes than the 6 most prolific news organizations combined over 30 days between December and January.
Wow. Wow.
That's amazing.
It really is. I mean,
she's a phenom.
Yep. And by the way, I see in the YouTube chat room, Diane says she sent Wiley a message on Twitter that she's with him. More important than that is sending the newspapers who carry the strip a message that you support him. I'm sure he loves hearing from you. Don't get me wrong. That's great. But really, if you can reach out to your newspapers and say, please keep this strip.
Yeah, that will make a difference, mm-hmm. hopefully. So, yeah. Reverend Dr. Barber, some keep asking, what can be Trump? He lost by over 4 million votes. He got in because of voter suppression, swinging 80,000 votes in a few states. How do you beat him? Fight voter suppression, turn out votes, don't write off any states, and fight him in the South.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everywhere. That's it.
Very wise. Yeah. Here's a fun one from Jenny Jardin from Boing Boing.
Yep.
Just random. You, Madam Flight Attendant, are oppressing me by not allowing me to carry my Donald Trump emotional support pinata onto this aircraft. I love her. Uh-huh. She followed me. I was
cool.
So excited.
Cool.
Yeah, I love that. Morgan Fairchild was quoting Ross Story, and this is just for fun. Quote, absolute joke, colon, MSNBC's Morning Joe shreds Trump for staring at TV sets like an old man in a retirement home.
Oh, I can picture him. By the way, have you seen the graphic that's circulating? It's Trump without the orange face, like using the natural eye color from around his eyes, and with his hair as it normally would be without the yellow dye and the implants.
Yeah, he looks like sort of a Scrooge character.
He looks like an old man in a retirement home staring at the TV set.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Ross Story said, Fox and Friends host Pete Hegseth says,
I have this audio. We should just play it.
Oh, good, good.
And remember, I'm going to jump on your next, as you listen to this, Pete Hegseth, who works at Fox News, I guess he's a weekend host of Fox and Fiends. He was one of Trump's finalists to lead the VA medical system that cares for 9 million people. Remember that when you hear this mental midget speaking. This was on Fox TV this weekend.
I guess Pete's the pizza champ, but he's...
Oh, yeah.
Got to be champion of something. I'll take whatever I can get. Love it.
You know, Jedediah was doing a news report a short time ago, and Pete had two more slices sitting right next to him because he was off camera.
Yeah, yeah. So he's eating day-old pizza.
It's still really good.
This is real. This is
just
real
for viewers to know, this is yesterday's pizza that he's just pulling out.
Still right there.
Not even in the refrigerator.
Yesterday was National Pizza Day, which means it's National Pizza Weekend, which means... Pizza Hut lasts for a long time.
He ate Pizza Hut yesterday and raw dough. So basically anything that's not nailed down, you got to just take the mugs off the table. He might take
As I told you, my 2019 resolution is to say things on air that I say off air. I don't think I've washed my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my
Someone
hands.
Help
ever.
Me.
No, I inoculate myself. This is not germs are not a real thing. I can't see them. Therefore, they're not real.
So you're becoming immune to all of the...
Okay. Germs are not a real thing. I can't see them, so therefore they're not real.
And as you pointed out, Alex Clearfield of the National Journal tweeted, Pete Hegseth, who, quote, does not believe in germs, was a finalist to lead a VA medical system that cares for 9 million people.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay. Harold Itzkowitz, a tech media guy, says CNN has put up another shutdown countdown clock in case we don't know when Friday is. The God account, the good God above.
That's a different one. So there's the good God above. There's the tweet of God. God has a few different Twitter accounts. It must be the different gods for different religions.
That's right. he says in big caps, attention, climate change deniers. You don't have to make a stupid joke about global warming every time it snows. Mm. Everyone already knows you're a huge fucking moron. You don't have to keep going out of your way to remind us. Thanks, God.
Yeah, Donald Trump, of course, made a stupid joke about Amy Klobuchar, covered
what
in snow.
What a dumbass thing he said.
It was a dumbass thing he said, but I gotta say, Amy Klobuchar, having any kind of event outdoors in Minnesota in February, it's kind of asinine. Just saying.
Oh, she wanted to. She was very well aware.
Because she wanted to show the bridge behind her. I'm sorry. I just thought it was ridiculous. She looked stupid up there, my opinion.
Okie doke. Okay. Garrett Hake of MSNBC. Yep. El Paso County passes a resolution saying it is, quote, disillusioned by Trump's lies regarding the border and our communities, citing past false statements and the likelihood of new ones at rally tonight. El Paso District Attorney, quote, the fence has made no difference whatsoever in crime since it went up in 2008.
Yep.
And what he did was he had a screen grab, and it was an official sort of document, you know, with fancy writing on it that the El Paso County whoever did this passed that resolution. It said, you know, resolution, like with a big R, and disillusioned by Trump's lies. So it just listed one after another, a good 20, I think, or 15 different things that they were disgusted with. It was just a beautiful thing to see. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see someone do that. Oh, I see we're running out of time. Yeah. I should just
I forgot to start my music bed.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to skip that whole bunch of things.
Okay.
Here, let's do this. Southern Poverty Law Center, two meeting rooms for 1,100 detainees, no table or chairs, no bathroom breaks, prohibiting electronics such as an attorney's laptop or phone. These are only a few of the obstructions to attorney access in detention centers we outlined in a letter to DHS Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen.
Yeah, there's tons
of them. Oh, here, A.D. Barkin.
Yes.
We have a growing anti-Semitism problem in America. Representative Ilhan Omar is not part of it. Linda Sarsour is not part of it. They are allies of mine and Jews across the country who are fighting for peace, racial justice, immigrants' rights, and the defeat of fascism.
And let me tell you, if you're on Twitter, go to Eddie Barkin's feed. He's got a long thread on the whole thing with Ilhan Omar, and it's really good. I will, I'll retweet it if I didn't already do so. And maybe add a link to my on my blog. And with that, Laffy, we are out of time.
Okie dokie.
We made it through, unbelievably. As always, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's hard to keep watching this stuff, but it's like a train wreck. It's hard to look away, too. I don't know what the answer is. As always, thank you. Find Gotta Laugh on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and here every Tuesday. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
All right, see you later. And that does it for us for today. Tomorrow we will get into the, the issues with this business. Broadcaster Norman Goldman will be my guest to talk about why he's going off the air. See you tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening.